Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Whoever tries to save their life, put themselves in the middle of their life, loses life. They never find life with a capital L and its real significance. But Jesus said, whoever loses their life for my sake, they're going to find it. They're going to discover life. In other words, when you and I take off pride and put on the humility that Jesus had, by the way, Jesus was humble in heaven and Jesus was humble on this earth. Was Jesus someone of significance just in a human sense, not him counting his divinity? My goodness, yes.
The truth is, to save your life in Christ, you must first lose it. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, The Entrance to the Kingdom, and encourages you to make this life count by handing it over to the King of Kings. So stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The one-year chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Entrance to the Kingdom, Part 2.
Jesus, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb was not on the table to be served. Jesus was the Lamb who was at the table. The new covenant, the new contract by His blood. How radical that is. The power of the blood, life in the blood, we're saved by the blood. But you know what? I'm sure there's somebody here who's rather modern and would say, you know, I can't believe that we're still talking about blood. Talking about, oh, like those pagan gods and like the God of the Hebrews who demanded sacrifices and blood to be shed to make a propitiation, that's a theological word, to satisfy God, to give a sacrifice to Him like they did in pagan traditions. They had angry gods. Man, you've upset this God. You've got to make a great sacrifice. We have incidents like that in history. And right, the king of Greece was going to Troy in battle and sailing on a ship. And the winds were blowing contrary to his direction. So he said, I've got to make a sacrifice to the God of wind. And he sacrificed his daughter, whom he loved so dearly. It was a great sacrifice. So the God of wind would be appeased and change direction so they could go and fight in the Battle of Troy. Isn't that interesting? How sad that is, how pagan that is. And someone would say, well, here you are in the 21st century talking about shed blood. Do you mean the God that we have here is angry and blood has to be shed to appease Him? Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the true and living God. You see, the difference in all the pagan religions, they said, give up something great, give some great sacrifice to make your peace with God, to get right with God. Here we have in the Bible, God said, oh yes, there needs to be a sacrifice, but I am providing the sacrifice. See the difference? I am the sacrifice. My Son is the sacrifice. The Lamb is the sacrifice. totally, radically different. You say, well, I just want a God who just loves. Let me tell you something. You may have some kind of mythological God that just loves, but the God of the Bible, the real God, is much greater because he demonstrates his love while we were yet sinners. He died for us. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. And so then we come to two interesting things. Jesus says, look at verse 25. Truly, I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. What does he say? He's saying, I will never let you down. He's saying, I make a commitment that I'm going to get you all the way home with me. And the next time we eat together in a banquet feast, it'll be in heaven in eternity with a new heaven and new earth at the marriage feast of the Lamb of God. He's making a vow, a claim. He's saying, I will do anything to get you home. And we see that anything meant the shedding of his own blood on Calvary. Jesus says, I'll never let you down. And in the same next verse, he says, you're going to let me down. Look at verse 27. And Jesus said to them, you will fall away because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you in Galilee. What's he saying? He said, you're going to let me down. But he said, I'm never going to let you down. And he said, even though you will let me down. And they did in their denial, did they not? They did in their running away. All their boasting, all their pride, it became empty air in the face of Calvary and the blood and the pressure that was brought to bear. But he said, after I am raised, I'll meet you in Galilee. I'll never let you down. You'll let me down. And after I've raised, I'll meet you in Galilee. A lot of people just bail out on the Christian life because you think, you know, I've been such a bad goose, a bad dude. God surely can't keep on forgiving me, and I go back. I just can't be a Christian. Others say I can't be a Christian because I have prayed to God, and he didn't answer my prayers. God answers every sincere prayer made in the name of Jesus Christ if you are a Christian. He answers every single prayer that you and I offer in Jesus Christ as Christian. He says, yes. He says, no. He says, maybe. He says, wait. This whole business of, he didn't answer my prayer, if you prayed sincerely in Christ, because that's the reason we pray in his will. His will is always superior to anything we think, no matter how low or high or how humanistic we might be. So we see that he says, I'll never let you down. You'll let me down, even though when I'm raised, I'll meet you in Galilee. I'll meet you in heaven. And then we see all the pride set in by Peter. I referred to it. All the other apostles, man, we're not going to let you down. We'll even die for you. Pride. Pride and pride. The palm of my hand. Got all my fingers here. Pride is the center of all sin. Take every one of the Ten Commandments. We break those commandments primarily because of one thing, pride. Take every one by one, look at them. Pride, 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 count to 10. Pride is the root of all sin. I want you to see how it operates. We read in Genesis chapter number 2, man, the creation, the perfection, the marriage of Adam and Eve in the garden. What a fabulous scene. Then the last verse of Genesis chapter 2, talking about Adam and Eve, he said they were naked and they were unashamed. Is that beauty? They were naked in fellowship with God, unashamed. The love of God flowing through their lives. The grace of God flowing through their lives. The Shekinah of God flowing through their lives. And they were naked and unashamed. Then we read in Genesis chapter number 3, the devil comes. Where did the devil come from? The devil was an angel and became full of his pride, and therefore he was kicked out of heaven with all of his emissaries because of pride, right? I want to be God. I want to run the show. Now here's Adam and Eve, and what did he whisper in the ear of Eve? What did the devil whisper? You'll be like God. He appealed to her pride. You'll be like God if you eat this fruit. And she did and gave it to Adam, the snake, to Eve, to Adam. Then they spent all their time saying, you did it, you did it. No, it's your fault. No, it's mine. It's you, the snake. No, it was the woman. No, it was the man. See, pride. They blame. It was a prideful thing. Now I want to ask you a question. Be honest. It's going to be tough. Do you know the first thing that happened to Adam and Eve after they sinned? First thing, I bet you never heard it. They realized they were naked. First thing. I'm naked. What in the world's that? I'm naked. God showed up. And they said, Adam, Eve, where are you? He said, we're hiding. Well, why are you hiding? We're naked. They sinned. They're naked. They'd been humble, transparent, without clothes. Now they put on those pitiful little fig leaves that you'd scratch a lot, I can tell you for sure. And said, we're naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Nobody had to tell them they were naked. They knew they were naked because they'd gone from humility and transparency to pride. And now they were ashamed and they couldn't face the living God. Nobody had to tell them. They knew it. And so you have nakedness is mentioned five times. The last verse there in chapter 2 of Genesis, four times. It's mentioned in the third chapter. Naked. Boy, have you ever heard that before? Have anybody here ever heard before that the first result of the fall of man, the sin of man, is that Adam and Eve realized they were naked? Be careful. Have you ever heard that was the first result of sin of the fall? How many have ever heard that before? Lift your hand. It won't be many. Oh, we have two or three that were ahead of me. I'd never seen it more than a couple of weeks ago. That's it. They were naked. They were naked. And what was that naked? It was pride. I want to be like God. And their answer was fig leaves. God's answer was found there in one of the last verses of chapter number 3. I think it's, 25, 26. And it says, God killed an animal. It was a lamb, I believe. And from the skin, the blood of the lamb, it covered them. In other words, the nakedness was covered by righteousness, by humility. When we fall into sin of whatever category, it is pride. And that pride has to be covered with humility. And that is covered, not covered up by the blood. That was Old Testament stuff. But the blood now eliminates that sin and washes that sin away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of a humble lamb. Interesting, isn't it? For sin to be handled, pride has to be reassembled and has to be put on righteousness, and that is a humility. Number one problem we've got, every one of us, is pride. We all want to be a drum major in different ways, in different kind of categories. This week, I got a booklet from a pamphlet about this big, about this long, multicolored, very, very expensive, from somebody I've never met. But he's a well-known, evidently, theologian and television star and great, godly man. And the open of it, the title, I'll not say it, but it's something like, oh, all the praise goes to God. Then there's about 30 pages of pictures of how great this person is, how God has worked through my life and done all of these magnificent things. I want you to see what God has done with 15,000 pictures of me. Very pious. Now, we all got James and John in us. Don't be too pious yourself. We've got a way of hiding all the ego and all the pride that we have. The fall of man. We fell into pride. The answer for pride is the blood of Jesus Christ, which takes away all sin. I want to show you two verses you're very familiar with. Look at it on the screen. Very familiar verses, but let's look at them again. Mark 8:35. Whoever wishes to save his life loses it. Jesus said that. What does that mean? It means if you want to save your life, you put yourself in the middle of your life, right? Let all the world, north, south, east, and west, revolve around Edith. You want to save your life? Run your own life. Seek all the pleasure you can get, all the gusto you can get, all the relationship you can get, all the applause you can get. However you find it, through humbleness or through egotistical, obviously expressed, seek all of that. Whoever saves in life, let me tell you, you try to save your life, put yourself in the center of your life, you know what happens? Your life begins to disintegrate. That's right. And the long is, number one, is in the middle of your life or my life, your life further disintegrates. And the truth is, you won't like yourself and others won't like you either. Whoever tries to save their life, put themselves in the middle of their life, loses life. They never find life with a capital L and its real significance. But Jesus said, whoever loses their life for my sake, they're going to find it. They're going to discover life. In other words, when you and I take off pride and put on the humility that Jesus had, by the way, Jesus was humble in heaven and Jesus was humble on this earth. Was Jesus someone of significance just in a human sense, not even counting his divinity? My goodness, yes. Most influential person to ever walk this earth. Was he egotistical in any way? Absolutely no. Was he leader in every day? Absolutely yes. He humbled himself, came obedient unto death, the shameful death on the cross. Let me tell you something. For you and me to give our lives totally to Jesus Christ, do you think he knows how to handle your life and my life better than we know how to handle it? Make a wild guess. Do you think Christ knows how to handle your life better than you know how to handle your life? Oh, I wonder if God, yes. Does he want us to all be heavy and down in the dump? No, no, no. He wants to bless us with blessings that are eternal and valuable. You save your life, you lose it, you give your life to the will of God, the purpose of God, you find it. Boy, that's important, isn't it? Look at the next verse. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, yet it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. In other words, he's saying, have you ever been to your own funeral? You need to do that. It's a good experience. Go to your own funeral. Die to yourself. Doesn't mean you take self and just throw self away. Oh, no. We die to self and our agenda. We die to self. I'm crucified with Christ, said the Apostle Paul. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. When we die, we go to our funeral. We crucify ourselves. Then we're in harmony with all the creative power of the universe, and we have resurrection power. Boy, that is a powerful thing to have, isn't it? Resurrection power in you, resurrection power in me, hitched up to all the resources of the created order of God. Die to self, live for him. Take off the pride, put on his righteousness, what is nothing but humility. Humility is the heart of the Christian faith. He that would be great among you, let him be humble enough to serve everybody else. That was the very genius of the life of Jesus and the very genius of every life. Go to your funeral. Die to self. Well, I don't want to lose. Totally. You don't lose yourself. When we die to ourselves, the Holy Spirit takes yourself and myself and cleans it up and gives it back to us. And then all of a sudden, that real joy begins to come in your life and in my life. You see, Jesus in that Passover, he changed what was said, he changed what was served. The lamb was not there, but he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, prehistory and in history, so that his blood will take away our fallenness and our pride, and humility can be restored to us in Jesus Christ. Anyone who saves their life, you're going to lose it. Not going to amount to anything. You lose your life. You give your life Let your life melt with God in Christ. You'll find life. That's humility. Crucified with Christ, die to self and live for him. Man, that is a life that's absolutely worth living. I want you to bow your heads for a moment, please. Different. Just bow your head. We're getting ready to go to the Lord's table. We'll get everybody. No one's moving except those who are getting the cup and the bread together. I built in time in this service so that you and I would have a chance to go to the table with new eyes and new hearts. To go to the table and say, this bread is a symbol of the broken body of Christ. He so humbled himself. He took my sin upon him, your sin upon him. And the Heavenly Father turned his back away from him. He took your sin and my sin and died in your place. And his shed blood on that cross just keeps on cleansing you and cleansing me of all our sin. But let's now, with our heads bowed as we're beginning to receive the cup, confess all those little prides that are running around in your life and in my life. The hidden things that we try to cover up. Whereas when we're naked before God, that's a posture of humility. And we're clothed with the love of Christ flowing through our lives. What did Adam and Eve lose? What did they lose when they ate the fruit? All of their life, they'd had the infinite love of God flowing through their life, and when they sinned, the sin of pride, they lost that. Think about that. All of your life, the infinite love of God flowing in your life, and whew, it's cut off. It's cut off. And they were naked. And they were ashamed. And they hid. That's what sin does to us. But Christ comes and his blood cleanses us. He is that sacrifice. God presented the sacrifice of himself to appease God who loves us with a love that will never let us go. To have that life restored, the love of Christ flowing through your life again, this is what happens. We move from pride, we confess, and move again to humility that Christ gives us. Jesus through his shed blood. So let's take a moment and say, Lord, I want to feel again the thrill, the sound of the trumpets in the morning, the thrill of living a liberated life of freedom, to live in the light of your love. I want the love of Christ to flow through my life, to flow through my life, to flow through my life. We confess our sin, he's able and just to forgive our sin and to clean up our lives so we can be naked before the Lord and before the watching world inside our own countenances.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in his Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in tomorrow as Dr. Young talks about the symbol at the center of your winning walk, the cross.